Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Titanic Tuesday on the horn this here ninth day of June 2015, where over in the neck of the woods, where third stage field navigator, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky hangs out. It's a hot 104 degrees, and I'm presuming that Sparky ain't in the man cave. No space folding going on this evening. No siree. Good evening to those wandering into the chat room. You know, if you'd like to be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, it's free and easy for you. All you got to do is head on by headonradionetwork.com and click new account, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and away you'll go. And so, good evening to Jug of Punch and Sentient Being, to Jeremy in Vermont and Texas P. Yes, indeed. And, of course, good evening to Sweltering Sparky. Not quite 104 degrees here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by cold Virginia stand, but it was a warm one. Big, puffy, cotton ball clouds piled up in the sky. This is a beautiful time of year in Appalachia. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you. It means a great deal to know that we are reaching.
Are we reaching?
Yes, we are reaching. And as noted, this is Titanic Tuesday. We will make up for not running the... Where's Tim when I need him? We're not running the Calliope music with a host. I mean a host of right-wing Titanic intellect. This evening. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's see here. You know, last night we didn't touch on it. There are things that have to be observed here. One being the explanation of Titanic Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday takes its name from something that happened a few years ago on right-wing radio, white-wing radio, WWNR Beckley. When our buddy Jim tuned in to hear Monotone Steve field a question from one of his knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who called in and said, "Steve, how come it is they is seashells in the rocks of West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." To which he replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Only he was much more monotonous than that. And so, to this day, there is still no word on the movement of the Titanic soft-boiled egg cups. Nope. But that's where Titanic Tuesday comes from. It's a celebration of the bold, proud exposition of titanic right-wing intellect, only one-third of which is ever fully visible, the other two-thirds being a subsurface train wreck. And we've got crossover stuff this evening. We've got stuff that, on the one hand, could be saved for tomorrow. We've got stuff that we wanted to go after yesterday. And in point of fact, a tale of two Texases. I thought you might appreciate or enjoy. Oh, wait, I'm about to screw up. I get so excited to get everything rolling that I forget some of the more important aspects of the program, one of which is the fact that, well, we'd like to maintain this program on nothing more than good looks and witty banter. The witty banter we've got covered. The good looks, no. But the fact of the matter is we are listener supported, and we begin this evening with an anonymous offer to match the first $100 that come in this evening. The first $100 that come in will be doubled to two as quickly as it happens. That's wonderful, because our evening's fundraising goal on any given evening is $200. And we find ourselves this evening with a fundraising goal of $340. And thank you very kindly to John for taking us down from the 350, the 150 we closed at last night. So we've got $340 to go this evening, and the first $100 that come in via the website, headonradionetwork.com, and the tab contribute there where the PayPal interface is, which you can ignore some of the more pushy, overbearing queries and just blow past it. Just get to the next screen and make all your PayPal decisions, credit card, PayPal account, what have you. The first $100 that come in either that way or via the U.S. Postal Service, but you have to send me a note, bobkincaid@gmail.com. U.S. Postal Service address being The Horn, that's checks and money orders, made payable to The Horn and not Bob Kincaid, an address to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, BECKLEYWV, 25801. Okie dokie. So the first $100 that come in get doubled by virtue of this very kind anonymous matching offer. But it's got to come in first. And then after that, we will only be $140 away from being even through the first 2 days of the week. Okay? So we've gotten, okay, so that's taken care of. Anyway, a tale of two Texases. Now, we all know what happens when people of color attempt to go swimming in McKinney, Texas. And we'll get to more of that in a little bit. But did you catch the story coming out of Abilene, the cow town of Abilene? Over the last week, we have audio here of an encounter between police and an open carry advocate. You might want the hockey puck for this. I mean, I'm pretty sure you will. Now, bear in mind, this is from Open Carry, Texas, and they believe an armed culture is a polite culture. So what that means is they want to walk around all over Texas with assault rifles, semi-automatic rifles of high capacity strapped to their carcasses. They're paranoid. strange, not at all understanding or comprehending of the Second Amendment, carcassi. Carcassuses, I guess. And so they have been on a campaign, Open Carry Texas have, of going around and deliberately inciting law enforcement to ask them why they're walking around all gunned up. This particular event comes from June the 3rd, 2015, in Abilene, Texas. It was described as a last-minute open carry walk. You know, they just get enough firepower to start a small war or make themselves appear to be a small gang, and then they go for a leisurely stroll, terrifying the residents and making the police very nervous. While waiting on the last participant to begin our walk, Abilene Police Department arrived on scene with rifles pointed at us, yelling to get on the ground and drop our firearms. Open Carry Texas has had a very positive relationship with the Abilene Police Department in the past, so we don't want anyone to look at this video as an attack against the department as a whole or the officers individually. We share this video because it's a training opportunity for law enforcement around the state on what not to do when encountering a law-abiding citizens exercising their right to keep and arm bears. Aggression only leads to needless escalation. We encourage officers to approach armed citizens with caution, but with courtesy. What does that say for the rest of us? Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a poker tell there. The rest of us are supposed to be cautious. Well, no, the cops have guns, and they have to be cautious and courteous. Those of us who don't have guns have to, we need to just be obsequious to these goons. I wonder, and one does this at one's own risk, how about if we don't approach them? But how about if we stand at a decent distance and point at them and laugh and holler, "Look at all those guys who obviously have very small penises!" No, because then they'll feel threatened and they'll blow your brains out. You know, Wolverines! You know, for freedom and whatnot. In fully disclosure, because teabaggers cannot be trusted to write the narrations on their own YouTube videos. In fully disclosure, Open Carry Texas President C.J. Grisham has reached out to APD leadership, who looked into this incident and apologized for what their officers did. Yeah, right. You got that? The police apologized to the people walking around all gunned up, posing a threat to civil society. Yeah, we accept their apology and appreciate that the department will receive additional training to ensure that these sorts of encounters don't happen again in the future. We look forward to working with APD in the future as part of our continuing mission to foster a cooperative relationship with law enforcement that is mutually respectful. I don't know why they didn't add at least a little in there. But I'm not part of their production team, now am I? Let's see here. Oh, well, before we start the audio, let us note that we are down to, on the matching challenge, we are now down to 290 for the total, and 50 to go on the matching challenge. Wonderful. So I just want everybody to, as we listen to this audio, let's remember that these are people wandering around with loaded firearms and no good reason to be doing so.
Second Amendment's good enough reason for me.
You a member of a well-regulated militia there, are you?
Open carry, Texas! Now, granted, if I had to march, I'd probably have a coronary in the first five or ten feet, but, you know, no, hell yeah, I'm a militia. Because Obama.
Yeah, as we begin here, a note coming from Ron, who says, 5x5 up here in the no longer frozen north. I'm still waiting, Ron says, to hear what happens to the first black resident of Abilene who dares to challenge the open carry culture. I suspect it would be a clear case of one more Texas martyr. It depends on how you define martyr there, Ron. It's only a martyr if the person charged by law enforcement is a white gun-toting open carry advocate. Because after all, if a person of any color was to point and say, "Wow, look at the people with the short penises and the long guns," well, killing them would be okay because freedom, because it's the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Anyway, let's check out this encounter between a nice, shiny, white gun-toter, gun-goober, and law enforcement.
Wouldn't do it myself, and... Whoa, what are y'all doing? What are you doing, man?
Man!
What the hell? We're not breaking any laws. Calm down, both of you. Calm down.
Don't you love how the white guy tells the police to calm down? That always works so well. Amazing the power that is contained within white privilege, isn't it?
Hey, can you tell your man to stop getting at the ready and threatening me? Tell your man to stand down. He's over there with a nail of 15 in his hands.
Just like I got.
He's telling me to drop my guns right now.
Then you probably should. Oh, wait, you're white.
Look at him. He's at the ready. He's got his hands on the pistol grip and everything. I got my gun behind me, and you guys are over here with your hands on your rifles like I'm a threat.
Because you are. Generally speaking, in an urban environment, there isn't much call for walking around with a firearm unless, you know, you're up to something. Meanwhile, the police officers walk nearer and nearer.
So calm down. No, listen. I am not talking to you until these guys get stop at the ready.
And the poor little police officer is approaching him with his open hands out in front of him, showing that he has not filled, you know, this ain't True Grit and fill your hands, you son of a bitch. No, he's got his hands out in front of him so as not to upset the sweet little white gun goober.
I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, he's not talking to the cops, which is, of course, his right under the Fifth Amendment. But he hasn't been charged with a crime either. And the Fifth Amendment is a right to not speak with the police so as to avoid self-incrimination.
Until these two guys right here, until you guys... Now, I want your hand off the rifle before I get comfortable.
I want, given orders to the police, I want your hands off that rifle before I get comfortable. What are you going to do? Slip behind a screen and paint war there? The Wolverine? It's all, that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? A white guy with a gun can tell two duly sworn officers of the law that he isn't going to do anything or talk to the police officers until the police officer takes his hands from the firearm, which he is expected in the course and scope of his duties to carry.
Then you can't talk to me. See you later.
Then you can't be on this property.
I can be wherever the hell I want. This is public property.
No, Clarence Darrow.
No,
this is public right here. I am on a public sidewalk.
He's not.
Oh, there you go. Now he's on a public sidewalk.
Okay, so you were on the property, correct?
No.
Yes, he was. Okay, so I need your name because you're criminally trespassing.
No, we're not. You can't criminally trespass unless you're told to leave somewhere. And you've been given...
Yeah, because Perry Mason here knows all the laws. You see these books behind me? They're not a mere facade. They have real laws inside them, and I know all of them. Never mind. Why remonstrate with the little pissant? I've never seen a cop remonstrate with a person engaging in civil disobedience in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone. All right, you're trespassing. Okay, going to give you 5 minutes. I'll be back in 5 minutes. We'll still be here. Okay, no. All right, 5 minutes is up. Time to arrest you. All right, and they get up and they get arrested. Of course, it's a slightly different scenario. In civil disobedience, you're not trying to provoke law enforcement. You're merely trying to make a statement with regard to an unjust law. But no, Officer Friendly here is going to try to explain the law of trespass to Wyatt Burp. What's the alternative here? Did I want the guy with the AR-15 to take out this incredibly mouthy, ignorant, poorly raised child? No. But civil society is taking a beating here. Nonetheless, let's get the full benefit of Officer Friendly. Explaining to our little lawbreaker what's going on.
This is public right here. I am on a public sidewalk.
He's not.
Oh, there you go. Now he's on a public sidewalk.
Okay, so you were on the property, correct?
No.
Yes, he was. Okay, so I need your name because you're criminally trespassing.
No, we're not. You can't criminally trespass unless you're told to leave somewhere. And you've been given notice. Where's the notice? They didn't advise me of shit. Now where is the notice that I'm criminally trespassing? We're on a sidewalk right now. Okay, we just heard that. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I am going to go to my vehicle, and I am going to leave. And I'm going to go down the road to public property.
But, hear me out. You were on the property at one point with your rifle. They don't want you on the property.
So I've got. Okay, but do you have to give me warning with a fucking AR-15 in your hands? On my back! How is it a safety thing? I'm a law-abiding citizen, minding my own business.
You haven't done anything wrong.
Exactly. So why do we have a guy over here hiding behind a wall as if I'm about to shoot somebody?
In case you do.
Don't give me that crap. You know for a fact.
Listen, I have not yelled at you once. Before I even walked up, I don't need that.
You know why?
No.
No, do you know why? Do you know why I'm feeling this way right now?
You're gonna yell at me, I'm gonna yell
back. I feel threatened because you are a police officer. And you have people with rifles.
Dumb shit! He hasn't blown your brains out, and if you were black, you would have been dead 4 minutes ago! Huh.
Stunning, isn't it? No guessing involved, Marty. Of course he's a white person. As noted, if he were of color, he would have been dead. All you would have heard in the clip is pop, and pop goes the weasel. And this kid, clothed in all the privilege that this country can give him, is utterly clueless as to why anybody might be even the tiniest bit nervous about a bunch of people. Remember, they explained that they were waiting for the last of their impromptu open carry strollers. They're just strolling. I mean, you know, some people carry parasols. Lindsey Graham, you know. But they carry AR-15s. It's totally lost on him. As to why a police officer... But no, it's not lost on him. Because, see, this is all ginned up. This is all, for want of a better term, street theater. They don't go for a leisurely stroll with their goddamn firearms. They go in hopes of being confronted by police so they can put up another video on YouTube showing how they're being persecuted. I agree, Angry, the Angry Indian, noting, in light of McKinney, this is a bad acid trip. Well, let's let the bad acid trip roll on out.
They're threatening!
Hold on.
That's not just...
There we go.
I yelled at you once. Before I even walked up, I don't need that.
You know why?
No.
No, do you know why? Do you know why I'm feeling this way right now? I feel threatened because you are a police officer. And you have people with rifles here that are threatening me. I am, because I want that man to stand down. That's not disorderly conduct. Look at 4201. I can yell.
4201! 4201! Look at it! Look at 4201! I can yell at you! I'm your boss! When's the last time, when you didn't have a gun in your hands, that you tried to, you know, I pay your salary... Tried that argument with a cop. Because I have never seen it work. Until now. In Texas, apparently, and probably in the rest of the country, if you have a gun strapped to your back, you can yell at the cops. And the most they'll do is hold their empty hands out in front of them and yell back at you. I guess it is a more polite society, isn't it?
All I want, I've got a First Amendment right.
Calm down.
I'm leaving. Goodbye. Goodbye, I'm leaving.
And
no, you don't need his name either. He hasn't broken any laws. You don't have to answer anything. Just get in your vehicle and leave.
Is he going to cry?
Nobody's broken any laws.
Oh, and
After being warned that stepping up onto the grass is trespassing, and that the facility that behind them doesn't want them on there, and having been given them notice, he trespasses across it again to the parking lot where they trespass to park their freedom-protecting vehicles, and the cop still stands there. While he's telling his flunkies that they don't have to answer questions either, even though one of the flunkies was the ones who was the one who was trespassing by being on the dirt. And he gets back and he's older.
You guys want to come up on us like we're some sort of terrorist.
Oh, yeah, get a good 40 feet between you and then start yelling at him again. You come up on terrorists, which you are. People walking around in public with guns terrify other people, and it's not the terrified people's fault.
Don't need his name either. He hasn't broken any laws. You don't have to answer anything. Just get in your vehicle and leave. Nobody's broken any laws here.
White guy turns his back, walks away from the police. They do nothing. Freddie Gray got on a bicycle and rode away from police and got broken into. Now, this is the Parthians were the heirs to the ancient Persian Empire, and they became famous for their ability to ride in on horseback with bow and arrow, and when it looked like things were turning bad for them, they would turn around and ride away, and the suckers would follow them, at which point they would turn around backwards on horseback while running in cushion whoever was following them. It was known as a Parthian shot. Here is Cletus's.
You guys want to come up on us like we're some sort of terrorist, that I'm going to respond in kind. Well, I'm not talking to your sergeant. You don't have to identify me. I haven't broken any laws.
And again, he's walking.
Yeah, you're not going to identify me.
Okay, that's fine. Can we talk like adults? When I got out of my car...
Listen, let me... No. Wait, just...
The poor cop is still trying to explain himself to the Wolverine! And this guy knows that he's making people nervous, and he gets off on it. And he's probably going to go home to his mother's basement, get out the Suave skin lotion, and masturbate furiously. I can't believe that the police pointed a gun at me. I had a gun! But, you know, this must be, well, we don't know because nobody's running a history on this guy to find out what kind of a police officer he's been. Maybe this is the kind of police officer we want, who doesn't just shoot first and ask questions later. But I'll bet you in Abilene, if the encounter is one with, say, a person of skin darker than a brown paper bag, You want to bet it's a little different outcome? Because I'd lay that bet.
Just listen to me. If you want to talk like an adult, let me tell you how this is going to work.
No.
As this is a consensual encounter right now.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Listen to me.
Because I have every
you
right
have
to
not,
leave. Am I under arrest?
You're being detained.
Why am I being detained? Okay, thank you.
Can we talk like adults?
I told you I have one condition to talk like an adult. One condition. Get these men out of here with their rifles. My rifle is in my vehicle. Put these away. My rifle is in my vehicle. Put these away, and I will talk to you. All right, good. We're not talking.
And dig it. The cop Because, you know, they say that at the front of their little video. The cop is the one who got a good talking to. While Doofus here is still... You know, and Doofus's mama doesn't understand where all the damn hand lotion goes. She really doesn't. He walked away alive. He's got a cop standing there. Again, pleading with him, holding his hands out to him, hands nowhere near the firearm or the pepper spray. Tim from L.A. took a little bit of an impromptu homework lesson. And looked up, 4201, 4201! Remember, he was hooting 4201. Disorderly conduct. A person commits an offense if he intentionally or knowingly uses abusive, indecent, profane, or vulgar language in a public place, and the language is by its very utterance tends to incite an immediate breach of the peace. Makes an offensive gesture or display in a public place, and the gesture or display tends to incite an immediate breach of the peace. Well, he gave him a proper cussing, but he didn't stick his middle finger out. Abuses or threatens a person in public place, obviously offensive manner. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for looking that up. So, this just begs for a bumper before we get on to the rest of it. Here. I mean, when isn't wailing a good idea? That don't sound like wailing. That sounds a lot more like, Oh, never mind.
I sit alone most every night, watch those trains pull out of sight. Don't I wish they were carrying me back to Abilene, my Abilene. Abilene, Abilene, prettiest town I've ever seen. Women there don't treat you mean, Abilene.
Police there don't treat you mean when you've got a gun on your back and you're an open carry Texas asshole. Abilene. No, that's Bill Anderson. That ain't Waylon.
Crowded city, there ain't nothing free, nothing in this town for me. Wish to the Lord that I could be in Abilene. Sweet Abilene, 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 prettiest town I've ever seen. Women there don't treat you mean in Abilene, my Abilene.
Yeah, Bill Anderson. Abilene. Fellow wanted to, he could probably turn that into a parody pretty quick. Ain't worth it. Now, of course, compare that with, McKinney, Texas. where the police behaved considerably differently, and there was not a report of a single gun. No. No, it appears the most desperate crime committed was black with a bikini on and 14. Yeah. It was a pool party. To which lots of children had been invited by a member of the gated community, of course. It started when children were invited, many of them, you know, children of color, the wrong color, to a community pool in a gated community called Craig Ranch. Tatiana Rose and her siblings were hosting the party when a couple of their neighbors showed up and started referring to their party guests as, "You black fuckers!" And began to say things like, "Why don't y'all get back to your Section 8 housing?" Mm-hmm. A young white girl scolded the racists and told them it was right, not right for them to be doing that. A white woman identified as being named Kate told her to go back to her government-assisted housing and smacked her in the face when she spoke up for the younger white girl. That's when the racists called the cops. Yeah. Yes, I'm informed by multiple sources. Cop who made a complete ass of himself. I mean, you've seen the video by now, right? Where he goes running down and does some sort of a barrel roll on the grass, like, you know, he's trying to dodge bullets in Fallujah. And, you know, maybe he was in his head. Who knows? Meanwhile, well, the white community gathered to thank the police for their heroic action in the face of desperate Negroness. The abusive cop in particular pulled his firearm on a teenage boy who was distraught over the fact that the police officer was wailing the hell out of a 14-year-old girl in a bikini. Not a lot of room for hiding firearms there. Again, we're talking about children. And the gravamen of the complaint is that while some children had been invited to the party, other Negroes were jumping the fence of the pool. By the way, McKinney Police Corporal Eric Casebolt is the 2008 McKinney, Texas Officer of the Year. Yeah. Oddly enough, the police did not approach the young teenagers with their hands up and displaying no weapons, saying, "Now, I just want to talk to you. Can we just talk civilly about this?" No. Meanwhile, CNN, CNN, of course, Chicken Noodle News, got right to the heart of the matter by interviewing terrified local white people. Oh, really?
Let me turn now to Nick Valencia. He's live there in McKinney, Texas. And so I know you've been talking to people in the neighborhood. Can you help us understand how this whole thing started? What are people telling you?
Well, believe it or not, Brooke, many of the residents I spoke to here are actually siding with the police officer, saying he was even justified when he unholstered his weapon. I've spoken to residents here, both black and white, and they say that this is not about race or racism in this subdivision, about 45 minutes north of Dallas. But what it is about here to the residents of this community are teenagers who did not listen or pay attention to the rules. They say about 70 teenagers were here at this pool early Friday night, and that it was relatively calm. There was a party going on, a DJ.
But did you hear that? There were 70 teenage Negroes. There goes the neighborhood!
Here, people were having a good time, but things started to get out of control when teenagers started jumping the pool fence that you see behind me here. One resident I spoke to said that she was a witness from start to finish, even before that on camera rolling. She said she wants the truth out there, but she also says that she's concerned about her safety. She wasn't willing to go on camera because she says residents here who are siding with police have received death threats.
Isn't that lovely? That there's always, well, we're receiving death threats from the new Black Panther Party. What we done seen on the TV when we watches that great American patriotic truth teller, Bill O'Reilly. The Black Klan is after us. Death threats. Oddly enough, they always say, we've received death threats, and yet, you know what? None of the white folks have ever figured out how to record a phone call. Even you know, with the record setting on a cell phone. It comes across kind of tinny and crappy, but if you're trying to preserve evidence, it'll work in a pinch. But not them. Ring, ring. Cletus, I think it's probably another one of them death threats. Well, ain't nothing we can do about it. Just pick up the death threat, honey. I know, but the last time a death threat come in, Chlamydia Jean picked up the phone, and she's still in her room a-crying. And poor little Anal Lee, he got one too.
I want everyone to know that that police officer, along with everyone else, they were completely in the right and protecting everyone.
And of course, she doesn't have the courage to put her face toward the camera. All we can see is that she's wearing really big, ugly Chanel sunglasses.
He was not out of line. I completely support him drawing his weapon or a taser or whatever it was that he did pull because he was being attacked from behind. I believe that if your life is threatened, that you have every right to pull a gun. He probably didn't intend on using it.
Probably didn't. You know, they probably didn't intend on killing Freddie Gray. No, hell no. I mean, and when that cop up in Cleveland, when he jumped out of the car 2 seconds after they arrived and blew the brains right out of little Tamir Rice, he probably didn't mean blow his brains out. He's probably just trying to shoot a fire warning shot because them 12-year-old Negroes, I tell you what.
I feel horrible for McKinney PD and the backlash that they're getting for this.
Yeah, she doesn't feel horrible for the little 15-year-old girl who was repeatedly physically abused by this heroic ground-rolling police officer. And they're probably going to have to drain the pool. You know how it is after those kind of people get in.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to have to drain the pool and refill it. And you know, I mean, this is why we can't have nice things.
They are here to protect and serve. They were doing their jobs. I think he deserves a medal for what he did. I really do. I don't believe he was out of line one bit. Those kids were taunting them and cursing them out, have no respect for authority, and as soon as their parents got here, they didn't even care one bit about how they were treating the officers and why they got into that situation.
Up to 70.
Now, of course, not everyone who has seen that video of the officer wrestling that 15-year-old girl to the ground.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Point taken, Jeremy. Now, Bob, that's just not fair. That saintly Paula Jones figured out how to record a conversation pretty good. She's a, I don't know, is she an exception to the rule? I'd say. I'd give him a medal. Well, maybe they can take up a collection in church and raise him some money now that he's out of the job. Sat there with his knee in the poor girl's back. And I don't know if you've heard the audio or not, but there's one point where it's a, and you're going to make me run in this heat with 30 pounds of gear on? Because they made him run. And they made him roll on the ground, too, like it was the siege of Ramadi. Two very different Texases, aren't there? If only the colored people would understand that they shouldn't go swimming. And by the way, that was one of the early tweets from the White Wing. Everybody knows black people can't swim. I wish I was making it up. I ain't. I'm also not making this up, courtesy of the Angry Indian. This is one of those moments where you wonder if people who do right wing talk radio is it intentional, or do they deliberately try to be inflammatory for the sake of ratings and advertising? And if they do, who are the advertisers who say, yeah, I want to advertise on this cat's program? He's something. I mean, I want to associate my business with this guy quick. Of course, it comes out of the Houston market. Of course, it comes out of, you know, Texas. This dude's name is Michael Berry. I have never heard of him, but the report says that he is a nationally syndicated radio host based in Houston. And Michael Berry, well, he understands the socio-political dynamic associated with this. Oh, sure. Sure. You didn't put the hockey puck away, I trust. Please.
So we're going to talk for a moment about this McKinney pool party, because issues like this make for great evening news. They have a great clip, a great little video clip. They show a cop throwing somebody to the ground. And then in steps the black pastor, and he says, we're not going to stand for this. We're going.
Wow. He does funny voices, too. Because that's exactly how it works. You know, it's just a clip of a cop roughing up a black child, and in steps the black pastor. I mean, there wasn't really anything wrong taking place.
Video clip.
It's all just a set.
They show a cop throwing somebody to the ground. And then in steps the black pastor, and he says, we're not going to stand for this. We're going to end up having to have a terrorist attack.
And the group is not going to be ISIS. It's going to be USIS.
We're not going to stand for it. And then you've got a ready-made crowd of people who don't have day jobs that are ready to storm the streets and threaten the cops. And before we go to the phone line, 713-212-5874.
Wait, who don't have day jobs? Shiftless.
He's about one button on a white suit away from a shiftless is what they are. They don't know their place. Whole damn place is coming apart on us, y'all.
Jobs that are ready to storm the streets and threaten the cops. And before we go to the phone line, 713-212-5874, let me suggest that for the people who end up getting in fights with the cops, shut your mouth.
Yeah, because the little girl was clearly just running her mouth, standing there in that bikini of doom. Probably had a shiv hidden there somewhere that she was going to use on Officer Friendly. Because he wasn't threatening at all as he went boogieing and barreling down the sidewalk there and did a quick tuck and roll to make sure that there wasn't any incoming.
Put yourself, well, they can't do it, but you for a moment. Let me ask you, how many among you would put on a badge and a police uniform today?
Not me, because I have no desire to exercise arbitrary authority, and plus my IQ is too high. We do remember that story from a couple of years back, don't we? About how people applying for a police officer job, there was actually a lawsuit about it. A guy wanted to be a police officer, all his life just wanted to be a police officer. And then he took the IQ test to be a police officer, and it turned out he was too smart, and the Civil Service Board turned him down as a result. The theory being that people who are that intelligent will get bored with the day-to-day drudgery of being a police officer, and they might question authority somewhere along the way, so they can't be... So, no, I don't want to be a cop.
How many of you would put on a badge, a police uniform, and be the first to respond by yourself?
By the way, I said shiv, and Irish Dave said, shiv? No, isn't that a straight razor? Actually, it's an ass a guy. Don't give me an opportunity to haul out W.C. Fields, Dave. And Earther pointing out, sure, Bob, but when the police show up at Fundy Ranch, they're thugs. Wouldn't it be fun to find a clip of this guy talking about Craven Bundy? Standing down the jackbooted thugs of the federal government.
To a crowd of teenagers, amped up. Watch them. Man, they're screaming. You know, get out of here. Who are you? You don't know what you get out. You get out. Who are you? I mean, you can't do that. No, man. We don't get you. You bet. I mean, you're talking about like jungle animals. I mean, this is wild.
Well, you knew it was coming, didn't you? Man. If you ever wanted an examination of how deeply racism runs in this country, you just got it at the 1:35 mark of this clip. Jungle animals. In that little moment, you find the distilled essence of 400 years of race terror, born of the illegal, filthy, criminal, brutal, inhumane actions of their forebears, and perpetrated down through the generations. I wonder if Michael Berry's one of those people who says, "Oh, a proud 12th generation Texan." Well, buddy, if you're white, that means you've got some slave owning in your background. Ain't been the same since.
Mm-hmm. Out, crazy, out of control.
Oh, let's get the whole clip.
You get out of here! Who are you? You don't know what you get out! You get out! Who are you? I mean, you can't do that! No, man! We don't get you! You bet! I mean, you're talking about like jungle animals. I mean, this is wild, crazy, out of control. Would you have ever, when a cop showed up, he's got a gun? Would you have ever? Now, mind you, he didn't show up to a tea party.
See what he did there? Because they're all law-abiding white people. Tea Partiers are. No, he showed up to a situation where people were upset because white folks in the community started hurling racial epithets the minute that they determined there was swimming while black going on in the swimming pool. They couldn't just mind their own business and hunker down behind the plate glass windows and the security systems and peer out of the blinds and all the... I have never seen so many... Honest to God, Marveline, would you look at... I have never seen so many Negroes in one place in my... Marveline, get the smelling salts, honey. Sit down. I'm afraid you're going to faint, Marveline. Don't let them get them. Don't let them get me, Emery. Protect my virtue. He showed up, you know, because it's always, really, compare the conduct of the Abilene cop with this cop. Abilene cop did not come running up to the guy with the gun, and it's, you know, this is the North Korea syndrome all over again. If you do not wish to be with, you better have a nuclear weapon. White boy has gun on back. So cop doesn't come running up with his gun drawn, hollering, "You're making me run this far in 30 pounds of gear in this ton of heat, gonna be burger." No. He walked up with his hands open, showing that he was not armed, and in a very calm fashion attempted to defuse a potentially hostile situation. But because there was an automatic determination made that the young people of color were the problem here, and not the people hurling epithets like, "Go on back to your Section 8 housing!" Because, I don't know, maybe a good cop walks up to those white folks and goes, "Why in the f*** did you say that? Have you no common decency?" "Well, listen here, officer, I pay your salary. And I want you to know we didn't move to this gated community to have a bunch of them come in here swimming in our good, clean, white water." Then you know where the problem is. And you go over to the other side and you say, "Hey, guys, I need you to calm down. I've figured out who the assholes are." And then you sort it out. But instead, Officer Case Bolt goes barreling in like it. Well, I'm running out of like it's Tora Bora in 2004. No wonder, you know, because of deep-seated racial presumptions that obtain in these situations.
The reports of fights breaking out. He showed up to people, and yes, they're probably white people, scared to death, peeking through the blinds. "Oh, my God, there's a bunch of black people, and they're out on the streets, and they're fighting and carrying on, and they're playing that music from Jay-Z. And they're scared to death."
Really? He went there, Jay-Z, music. And we all know that Pastor, Brother, Minister, Governor... Diabetes snake oil salesman Mike Huckstorby's done told us that Beyonce is a loose woman who sings dirty songs that Barack Obama in our White House lets his little cheerins listen to. They're like jungle animals.
That's who his bosses are. He's there to keep the peace in his community.
Really? This clown just made they pay his salary. Yeah, because they're not. He's not. No, because remember, they don't have day jobs, and therefore no black people ever pay taxes. Only white people do. Why is this fucker on the air? Jungle animals. We're about 1 molecule away from nappy-headed hoes at this point in time. But, you know, it ain't Don Imus, and he's not, well, he might be nationally syndicated, but nobody's going to take this little prick off the air, even though he goddamn well deserves to be, because those are the public airwaves he's using. And a little bit of a digression for a moment, but hey, let's consider. This is internet radio, so we can use words like this. If I use the word shit, or, God forbid, fuck, on terrestrial air in America, the Federal Communications Commission would come down on me like 15 tons of brick. I think the fine would be somewhere in the order of $475,000 per occurrence. Because it is deemed obscene, that word. Doesn't matter, midnight, 8 in the morning, you know, doesn't matter. Can't say it. You are censored from using that word, even though I imagine that word is probably within the top 10 words uttered by any by Americans all over this country on any given day. But if I used it on terrestrial air, I would be profoundly censured and censored. I mean, that's part of why Howard Stern, regardless of what you think of him, that's part of why Howard Stern left terrestrial air and went to satellite. On the other hand, you can refer to an entire class of human beings in this country as being like jungle animals. And that, curiously, is not thought to be obscene. Maybe it's not thought to be obscene because it is a commonly held, racist profile that is approved of and embraced by a significant, nasty, loud plurality in this country. I find it much more obscene that this guy is getting a paycheck to refer to an entire segment of the population of this country as being like jungle animals than merely uttering the word fuck. But that's America, where we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and freedom to keep and bear arms, and it's the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Yeah.
Now, let me suggest, you want to take one little clip of what a guy did? That's fine. Let's take one little clip of you in the course of a day and not give it any context.
We're going to make the this really is a 962nd level right wing blatherhead. Oh, how charming. It appears that former McKinney police officer Eric Casebolt doesn't just hold a low opinion of black people. I've just been forwarded a photograph by the angry Indian showing him done up in red face. In other words, with an Indian headdress on. But yeah, so now he's going to make the context argument. One little piece. You know what? I watched the whole video, as it was put up on YouTube, and that's not one little moment. That is that jackass running, being followed by a couple more cops, and he does his stupid, dumbass tuck and roll, and then he runs up and begins screaming at people, regardless of whether or not they were, and people are trying to tell him they didn't do anything. He doesn't give a damn, because he's going to enforce the law on black people. And there are young black males there who sit on the ground, but there's a young black female, 15 years of age, Dejira Becton, and she says, what did I do? and she gets knocked to the ground, and she gets a knee in her back, and she gets handcuffed and roughed up and brutalized. And when a couple of young people, you know, what are you doing to her? That's when the gun comes out. So we're just wallowing in context here. And to be fair, this is a clip from yesterday, his program yesterday. I'm sure by tomorrow, Officer Friendly will be a martyr to the cause.
His community. Now, let me suggest, you want to take one little clip of what a guy did? That's fine. Let's take one little clip of you in the course of a day and not give it any context. I guarantee I can burn any one of you. But a little bit of advice to those punks. When the cops show up,
oh, they're punks now. Are they punks, even the ones who sat down on the ground when they were told to sit down on the ground because their parents have long ago had the talk with them, explaining that they are more likely, simply because they are young, black, and male, to be murdered by police than other citizens of this country? Are they punks too, Michael Berry? You ass. Yeah. Wrap it up, Barry. Well, let's back up. Let's get the advice to the young punks.
Let's take one little clip of you in the course of a day and not give it any context. I guarantee I can burn any one of you. But a little bit of advice to those punks. When the cops show up, they're outnumbered. They have to take control of the situation. The best thing you can do is get down, keep your mouth shut, and let order get restored first. Just comply. For that moment, just comply.
Yeah, just comply. Just comply. I can think of a few countries where just comply has been the order of the day, can't you? We generally describe such nations as being authoritarian in nature. We sometimes describe these countries with a word that begins with F and ends in ashism. Yeah, and by the way, Michael Berry, that's not just punks. That's punk and punkette, punks and punkettes. Because that's what the young woman was. She was obviously a punk. A punk in a bikini. How do I know? Because Megyn Kelly over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda told me so.
We are continuing to watch the protest march, the Black Lives Matter protest march down in McKinney, Texas tonight, where police are under fire tonight after video surfaced of one officer's response to an out-of-control party Friday night. In a tape that has now been seen by millions, a McKinney police officer can be seen drawing his weapon before tackling one 14-year-old girl and pinning her down. That officer is now suspended while an investigation unfolds. Mark Furman is a Fox News contributor and a former LAPD homicide. Richard Fowler is a nationally syndicated radio host. Mark, let me ask you, because you've defended a lot of cops on this show when videotapes come out that don't necessarily...
Mark, let me ask you, because you are a known liar who lied in court and was busted stone cold for doing it, Mark. Let me ask you, because you defend other cops when they behave badly.
Really look that good for them. What do you say about this guy?
Well, what I don't like, Megan, is him drawing his weapon. Clearly, when you look at the background, instead of the officer or the young girl on the ground, you see a middle-class community with manicured lawns and people that are dressed nicely and kids that are dressed nicely. So we're not talking about some, you know, hotbed of crime activity there. And you kind of wonder when he drew that weapon.
Well, my code radar is going up. It's a nice white community.
If those two young boys wouldn't have run, if they would have run towards the officer or he would have made contact, I think this would have turned out very ugly. So that's hard to defend. The other thing is what did he know when he got there? What did he know before he got there, and why did he ever run into this by himself before
other units arrived? What about the takedown of the 14-year-old girl, Mark? Because that's the most brutal part of this.
Oh, goody. Might want to check the tape on the. You might want to check the duct tape on the hockey puck for this.
And you see him, you know, bending her limbs.
I'm trying to figure out why arrest anybody at that point. You have 100.
By the way, I keep, because I'm watching video at the same time I'm rolling audio here. Who is the big old humongous guy in the blue jean denim shorts and the beige polo shirt who keeps clearing things away so the cop can continue to brutalize the young woman? Still no word on that. Who is that guy?
He's a concerned citizen.
What would Open Carry Texas have done had they been here? I'm sure the police would have been thrilled with their presence.
We're here to defend the Constitution! Wolverines!
...130 people at the pool party. You have seven agitators that jumped in. You're focusing on control, but arrest of one person ties your hands, and now you're completely useless to the rest of the crowd.
The goddess of irony just walks around and every now and then flicks Mark Furman on the head ever since the O.J. trial. Get it? You got it? The cop is the one who's tied up, even though he's stomping the snot out of a 14-year-old girl and handcuffing her and grabbing her by the head and the neck and bending her and putting his knee in her back. He's the one who's tied up.
The other officers, I don't even understand that, and he certainly did not have control of her. It looked.
And by the way, the guy in the beige polo shirt and the jean shorts, cop's not at all worried about him, you know, because he's white, right? Nothing to worry about there.
Kind of bad the way he was attempting to get her on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And you find, I mean, I'm sure he didn't know she was 14 at the time. Maybe he did. We can't assume it, but...
Really, Your Honor, she looked 18 to me. Of course, you know, it's hard to tell the age on those people.
Really, Megyn Kelly?
Now we know, and she looked like a young woman, and...
She looked like a young woman. And what does a young woman look like, Megan? Details, please.
It's brutal. I mean, you know, Richard, it was the head of the NAACP, came out and said he treated her like chattel.
Which he did. All one need to do to come up with, to understand the validity and accuracy of that statement is to think about a runaway slave being driven. Remember, runaway slaves were not shot on sight. They were captured and brought back because they were property that had liquid asset value. So they would be thrown to the ground, and they would be subdued and restrained, just like this young woman was.
And now people have made this into a race thing.
Oh! The cop didn't make it into a race thing. People have made it into a race thing. Even though the whole thing begins as a race thing. You know, with the white people saying, get on back to your Section 8 housing, you black fuckers!
Right.
Are we there yet? What is the evidence it is a race thing as opposed to excessive force thing?
Race aside, Megan, I mean, I think to watch a woman beaten.
By the way, this is the professional black man on Fox. That naturally says race aside, because if he says it's a race thing, he'll never be invited back.
Handled like that by a guy who's two times her size made me sick to totally sick to my stomach, to be honest with you, just to watch it. Right, and I, for once, a little bit, I agree with Mark here. I mean, you're in a middle-class neighborhood. Whether it's a hotbed or crime or not, it shouldn't matter. The police should sort of operate the same.
And it isn't, according to the residents. It isn't.
Right, and I think this police officer...
Well, according to residents, it isn't. I mean, it wasn't until they showed up.
It's clearly, you know, clearly he pulled his gun out for no reason. Clearly they were all unarmed. It was some kids acting up, and, you know, it just didn't really need this. Now, where the race comes in, I think the reason why we've gotten here is a recent Pew report found that 71% of white Caucasian residents in this country trust the police, while 31%...
White Caucasians. As opposed to...
of African Americans trust the police. So you put 14 and 15 year olds who are used to seeing, you know, police, you know, brutalizing young African American men for whatever the reason might be, and so they say automatically, we see the police officer, what we're going to try to do is get away from the situation, which is why you have running there, mm-hmm. right? Because for far too long, they see the police as a threat. They think they're going to be the next Eric Garner or the next Michael Brown or the next Walter Scott. So they're like, well, we don't want to have anything to do with this. And you hear the girl in the video saying, call my mother, please, call my mother, because she understands what's getting ready, what could possibly happen.
Listen,
to her.
The girl was no saint either. He had told her to leave, and she continued to linger. And you
That's
know,
true,
when the cop
Megan,
tells you to leave,
you look,
get out. I'm not defending his actions.
Very,
let me make that clear.
But if you look very, clearly at the videos, there's also white guys in it with some.
Shh. When Megyn Kelly says I'm not defending his actions. Hint, she is.
You know, with some jeans and a khaki shirt.
Just standing
was,
there. And you didn't bother
there.
Him. I got
he
it. Let me get Mark
to
defend.
To
let me get Mark to weigh in on the point about how we've gone to the race place on this.
We've gone to the race place. You know, it's in the mall right next to the Foot Locker. It's the race place. They sell that music by Jay-Z.
Well, first, the police were called by the residents. The residents that live there are white and black. So I think that's kind of a wash as far as the response of the police. The actions, once the police got there, we got 11 police officers that aren't being investigated. We have one that's being investigated, but... He seemed like he was, I don't know if he was focusing on just black kids, because the video is rather...
He wasn't focusing on that the white guy who was at least 1.5 times his size. He was pretty comfortable with him. Of course, the white guy was clearing people away so he could continue to abuse the young black girl. So maybe, well...
narrow in its scope, so I don't know that, and we don't know those facts yet, but I think it's kind of a leap to go to a racial profiling yeah. at a graduation beginning summer pool party.
We'll hear more. I mean, there's a guest on Hannity tonight, an African-American resident, who says this is not about race, and people are jumping to conclusions on this, and they shouldn't, so you can stay tuned for that. Guys,
yeah, let's don't say we didn't. Notice that Megan said, and wow, I'm surprised Megan didn't accuse her of strong-armed robbery or some such, or maybe selling Lucy's. Because describing the young woman, he said, well, the girl was no saint either. He had told her to leave, and she continued to linger. When a cop tells you to leave, get out. Another one of those race things. Damn.
Yeah, as Marty notes, yeah, just comply. Michael Berry, you know, like the AR-15 guy from earlier who openly defied law enforcement and didn't be compliant. No. That's what white privilege will do for you. Jack in Shreveport's a little confused, as am I, by all of this. He says, so does being a punk preclude one's being a jungle animal? No, I think these are punk jungle animals. Mm-hmm. So, well, the filibuster has taken a little longer than usual this evening, 25 minutes past the hour, almost halfway done with the program. That happens sometimes, especially on an evening like Titanic Tuesday. Because, I mean, we have certainly gone full steam ahead toward the big iceberg of Titanic right-wing idiocy. Mm-hmm. And we are still looking for the other $50 to come in and secure the $100 matching contribution that is on the table but as yet unfulfilled. Hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later and we can get on to the business of trying to round up the remaining $140 of the deficit we are working on this Tuesday evening. It being Titanic Tuesday and therefore a Tuesday, we have coming up the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And open lines for you. Conversation radio, this being that, you're welcome to join in. You know the numbers, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. That is the stress line. And, of course, there's 304-574-8178. That's the other line. And, of course, if you want to reach out Skype to Skype from anywhere on this little blue-green marble time machine hurtling through the universe, that's free. And the contact address is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. If you've never done it that way, well, send me a contact request. I'll see it, and we'll get rolling right away. Okie doke. All right. So light up the phones if you so desire, and we'll get the conversation going because this is conversation radio, listener-supported. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Tuesday, June 9, 2015.
It could mean tens of thousands of wells that have water quality and water pollution issues.
EPA study confirms fracking contaminates drinking water. Norway divests from coal. May was the wettest month ever on record for the U.S., plus...
What is the environmental policy of the Republican Party? When I ask that question, I get a blank stare.
Republican Senator and presidential candidate Lindsey Graham smacks Republicans on climate science denial.
All of that smacking and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I feel like a Greenpeace volunteer who successfully got someone's attention. I didn't think this would happen, and now I don't know what to do.
Now that we've successfully gotten your attention, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, the month of May was not the wettest May on record. It was the wettest month ever on record in the U.S. Is that correct?
That is correct. But we'll get to more of that in just a moment.
I'll get my umbrella.
But first, in a major new study, the Environmental Protection Agency confirms that the fracking industry has contaminated drinking water wells in the U.S., but calls the contamination, quote, not widespread or systemic. The oil and gas industry immediately seized on that headline to claim that the EPA declared fracking safe, which it most definitely did not. The EPA itself admits in the report that it was forced to rely on voluntary data reported by the industry. Lauren Pagel, Policy Director for Environmental Group Earthworks, noted on the broadcast that the EPA's study really was quite limited.
They didn't go out to very many places where communities have been complaining of polluted drinking water. They ignored some severely polluted areas where families can light their water on fire. They didn't do everything that was needed to be able to make the conclusion that they made about widespread pollution.
I love the fact that they ignored families who could light their water on fire. That's amazing. And they could only work with the data they had. The oil and gas companies were refusing to give them the data they needed to do a proper study.
Indeed.
But, of course, those same companies and the media trumpeted this as if fracking causes no problems whatsoever. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. Amazing.
And, of course, remember, the oil and gas industry is a major advertiser on the broadcast media.
Good point, but not here.
An update in that oil pipeline spill in Santa Barbara County, California, back in May. A preliminary investigation by the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration finds that the pipeline was badly corroded, with over 80% of the wall thickness of the pipeline eaten away. Yet in regulatory filings, the pipeline company, Plains All America, assured federal and state regulators that its experts had confirmed a rupture in the line was, quote, extremely unlikely, and that state-of-the-art remote monitoring would detect a spill in 15 minutes. It took nearly 2 hours.
And left a horrible mess and a bunch of dead wildlife. But other than that, why worry?
In politics, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is coming out.
What?
Against his fellow candidates in the race for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination.
Ah.
Speaking in Iowa on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday, the South Carolina senator criticized his entire party for denying climate change.
What is the environmental policy of the Republican Party? When I ask that question, I get a blank stare. We don't have an environmental policy. We have an energy policy. If I'm president of the United States, we're going to address climate change and CO2 emissions in a business-friendly way. We're going to find oil and gas that we own because we're going to use fossil fuels for a long time to come. But it's okay to set lower carbon targets. I do believe that climate change is real. I want a business solution to that problem.
The Republican Party is increasingly out of step with the rest of the world. Norway's parliament on Friday voted to sell off its investments in coal in their government pension fund. That pension fund has $900 billion, considered the largest sovereign wealth fund in the world. It will sell off investments in companies that rely on coal for more than 30% of their revenue.
Coal down, oil and gas to go.
Finally, As we noted earlier, not only did the month of May set rainfall records in both Texas and Oklahoma, it broke the record for the wettest month ever recorded in the United States. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. This despite the record drought in California and the West. 15 states got so much rain, it drove the nationwide average over the top to break the record for wettest month ever.
I'd say unbelievable, except it's totally believable. It's exactly what scientists have been warning us about for decades. Let's keep ignoring them, shall we? For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Twenty-two minutes before the hour on this ninth day of June, 2015. This is the Horn, Titanic Tuesday. And by the way, just in case, as we sort of ponder the whole McKinney versus Abilene thing, understand, and you know, you can just look him up. You want to see who started the whole mess? You want to see who started the whole nightmare? Because he's out there. You can find him. Sean Toon. I'm looking at a screenshot from WFAA Dallas. Sean, S-E-A-N, Toon, T-O-O-N,
who proudly announced to Mark that he was the one what called the police because of all them blackness around the lily-white swimming pool there in his whiteness of neighborhood gatedness.
Mm-hmm.
He's a standing there in a gray T-shirt and a whole bunch of stubble on his jolly face, and he's got him a camo ball cap like what the Patriots there at the Duck Dynasty probably were, and he's got his sunglasses up on his ball cap, and it ain't just the ordinary camo ball cap. It's camo ball cap what's got some pieces of the American flag in it, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. And he's the one who dropped the dime because everybody knows that black people don't have no business around no swimming pool. And he's the one who run to get in front of the camera and say, I think he did. I think the police officer did what he did when he had to control the situation. And then he took pictures of himself holding up a sign saying, thank you, heroic police officer who put his knee in the back of a 14-year-old black girl in a bikini. That kind of stuff. And shortly thereafter, Twitter, which is not known for nuance, somebody created a hashtag called SeanToon911. And remember, in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, he points out that mocking authority is a very effective tactic. And the hashtag SeanToon911 got real funny real fast. Picture of Oprah in front of this room full of her audience, a bunch of white women. Come quickly! There's a suspicious black female holding a room full of white women hostage! Hashtag SeanToon911. A picture of Uhura, who I hope is doing better, Nichelle Nichols. There's a black woman trying to carjack the spaceship! Sean Toon, 911. Picture of Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. 911, there's a suspicious-looking black man who pulled up in a cab, and I don't think he lives in Bel-Air. Sean Toon, 911. Picture of a black surgeon in an operating room.
and he's wearing a mask and got some sort of knife. Sean Toon, 911. Just look up the hashtag on Twitter. I bet you're going to see. So there's the beginning. Would it have made a difference, maybe, if the police had gone up to Sean Toon and gone, oh, no, really? Or maybe they would have recognized him from one of their Klan meetings or something. Sean, settle down. They's just swimming. Yeah. Hey, let's run over to the stress line. I suspect that we have John. Is that you, John?
Yep, you got me for a few minutes.
Hot diggity.
Hot diggity dang. Jump up and down and call yourself Willie. I thought I would mention the fact that, and as I've said before, and I'll say it again and say it till I'm fat and old. Oh, that's right. That's already happened, so I better shut up. But, you got a lot of this white people here that their world's disappearing and they're just getting scared. You know, those little darky folks are coming into places that they thought was theirs. You know, they feel that fear.
Yeah, well, they feel they perceive, it isn't happening, but they perceive an erosion of white privilege.
Yep. And then on top of that, you've got all these damn cops out here, and this kind of encapsulates some of my life experience over the course of multiple decades. But some of the most scared people out there are cops. They see the movies, they see the TV shows, they see how they think they're supposed to act, all lethal weapon and super cop and the virtually immortal, invulnerable. But then they get out there with all those strange people, those people with different skin colors and seem to be more masculine and male than they are without having to carry a gun around with them. And I've got to go out there and I've got to roll on the ground and pretend I'm a military guy because I'm just a cop.
Right.
Get my little jolly today. He's a damn idiot. You know, back when I was younger, if you had a bunch of kids in the pool, I suspect from what I gathered from the evidence, from a lot of them had passes to be there. They were guests of other people in the community.
They were invited to a graduation week pool party.
Exactly. And yet you got some old freaking biddies and bubbas who felt that their air was tainted with the...
Go back to your Section 8 housing, you black fuckers. That's what was said.
Yeah, that was. But the sad thing about it is, even for a half second, let's grab on and say some of them did live in Section 8 housing. I strongly suspect the reason why they went to the party is, A, Section 8 housing doesn't have pools.
B, they were invited.
Exactly. And that's what gets me about this whole thing. It came across my news feed here a little bit ago, and I don't know if you got it or not, but I think the officer that's involved, he just resigned.
Yeah, he's resigned. Right.
Yeah, he's trying to duck it because he was about to be brought up on charges. And over the past couple of days, you've got visit up there in Cleveland. They're trying to do a backdoor citizen's arrest of the guy that killed that one kid.
Well, the law's still on the books. Use it.
Yep.
You know, before the cop can request a bench trial and the judge can say, well, I can't be certain that the bullet killed the little boy. Because, you know, that's always already been seen to have happened in Cleveland.
Yeah, and from what I read, it's something like they've got another judge now to try to talk you into doing an arrest warrant or something like that. And I'm going, oh, great. You know, it's bothersome to me in some aspects that this is I guess maybe because of all the videos that's out there now, but I mean it is. I mean, I can just imagine, and I've talked to a few people from overseas, but and their comments are not good at all, but I can just imagine what does the rest of the freaking world think. You know, as you so tongue-in-cheek talk about the greatest country in the world, holy crap. I would imagine that most of the people in the rest of the world would look at the United States and people wonder, why is our influence diminished? Because we act like a bunch of damn barbarians. And we are. We're acting like a bunch of damn barbarians.
We're not acting like, John. We are a bunch of damn barbarians.
I'm trying to be nice. Give me a break.
Oh, you don't have to try here.
I'm a gentle soul. But, it's ridiculous. I talked to a friend of mine in Germany, and he was like, he's seeing some of this stuff, and he's going, he said, you don't see that over here. He says, over here, we might have 2-3 shootings a year, cops killing people for things like that. He says, you guys, it's every week. It's every day. You know? And it does. It makes me actually feel kind of embarrassed about the country. You know? Like I said, you need about the greatest country in the world. But for people who call about American exceptionalism, yeah, we're exceptionally racist, we're exceptionally mean to the poor, you know. And that's about half of what it is there. And, you know, it's not just racism, it's also this damn monetary privilege. These people live in a nice neighborhood. They've remarked upon it, how nice and clean and people are dressed nice and stuff. And so having all these pores, blacks and Latinos and stuff coming into our neighborhood. Now, so you're not just talking white privilege, you're talking economic privilege, you're talking, you know, this whole sense of I'm the Lord and the Master, and you're scum.
Exactly.
It does, man.
Well,
And
every time one of these stories breaks, and that's why I introduced the story, John, sort of in conjunction with the story out of Abilene, just in case there might be some little wingnut listening out there who says, well, see, he's just liberal. But it's very real. I mean, the difference between the response of a cop, a white cop, and a white guy who is armed to the teeth, and the way the white cop responds to unarmed black teenagers. It really is the North Korea syndrome. Apparently, if you don't want the police with you, what you need to be is armed and white.
Yeah. The white people, especially people of privilege, and a lot of people forget this, and Mr. Indian will probably be able to jump in on this and probably take what I take and what I say and run with 1,000 miles. But the police are not there to serve you. They're there to serve the system, and the system is the rich white people. Maintain their property rights, maintain their social order, because they can't rule the world if everything is in chaos. If people get rights, then they get to get better wages. If they get, you know, it's like they had a thing here not too long ago about McDonald's. They had some guy up there hooping and hollering at the McDonald's shareholder meeting, chaffering about how, you know, the stupid ass comment he made was that Shania Twain would never become a rock big star if she would have been making better money at McDonald's because that motivated her to go without being exceptional.
Oh, you're kidding me! How did I miss this?
I listened to a breakdown of it off another podcast or show that I was listening to earlier today, so I can't remember exactly where I got it from. But it was, when I listened to it, I was like, what? Now, this might be a little dated. Like I said, I picked it up off a broadcast. It might have been an older broadcast, but like I said, when I heard it, I was like, what? And that's the attitude these fuckers have. You know, everything is supposed to be their way. That everything that you get because they let you have it. You can't take it for yourself. If the cop comes up in your face and tells you, you guys, you're encroaching on my authority. I remember, you may remember, I told you sometime back that I got arrested for stepping in front of a cop's authority. And, oh yeah, the judge, most of the charges were passed off, but the judge told me he had to go ahead and find me because I had usurped and interfered with a police officer's duty and usurped his authority. And I was like, what? You know, is that how it works, that, you know, the cops are these magic beings, when in fact they're mostly, I won't say mostly, maybe I'm being a little cruel about it, but I'm sorry. I did a stint down in Florida, who my job was, before I became a truck driver, I was what they politely called a body mover in Florida.
Right, yeah.
To go to crime scene and stuff like that. And I, shoot, don't give me 5 hours. I would tell you the corruption that I ran into. These people in, like, Florida, like the comedian Ron White said, hell, you got, you know, you drive 20 miles, you run by 3 crack houses, 4 dead hookers. But it was, and it's, you know, they pin that badge on you. You see them go down the freaking highway. I see it every time. I see it every freaking day. I drive down. I'm using headsets and all kinds of fancy gear to be able to talk to you right now so I can be compliant and legal. But I can watch a cop car go drive by. He's got his hand on his laptop, his cell phone to his ear. He's driving with his freaking knee. That's a multiple $1,000 fine in my opinion. If I get caught doing it, if he gets doing it, who's going to arrest me? Power corrupts, and for many of these people, they get into this freaking job being a police officer because they couldn't get in the military, and they have an attitude. They want to go boss somebody around. And I've always said that they need to be a lot more stringent with the medical and psych evals of these guys. Because a lot of these bastards, they get in there, and that power goes to their head.
Oh, they were yearning for it before they went.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, corruption starts real small. When I was a kid, the 7-Elevens would have free coffee. We would have free coffee and stuff for the cops.
Sure.
To attract them to hang around the 7-Elevens so they'd be robbed. Okay. I don't begrudge anybody a cup of coffee, but stop and think about it for a moment. The cup of coffee turns into a meal. The meal turns into a little something-something on the side. And, you know, if you ain't damn careful, before long, you're picking up little packet envelopes and padding your accounts. Now, most cops don't do that, but enough of them do.
To make it a problem.
Yeah, enough to make it a problem. You know, and people continuously forget the cop is not the, when it says protect and serve on the side of their car, they don't. They're there to protect and serve the masters, the political.
Right, they are there to protect and to serve the system.
Exactly, because the system gives them power. It gives them a paycheck. I mean, how many jobs are there in this world, in this country right now, especially in this modern economy, where you can put 20 years in, 20, 25, and walk off with a full pension and still be young enough to go get another job? Not many. I'm not begrudging it to them. The guy busts his ass, he's honest about it, go for it. But these guys are going around and they are, you know, and the way the country and the way the people, you know, they get to be like the military. Oh, the boys in blue, oh, they're heroes. You heard that crap coming out of that chick's mouth today about, oh, how he's a hero and he should get a medal. For what? What did he do? Did he, you know, using your statement, did he go to Fallujah and get shot at by a bunch of people who could actually shoot? No. He went and go tackle some unarmed teenager and beat the snot out of her. But you saw it in his eyes. You saw the video when he pulled the gun.
Well, there's a little more coming out about Officer Casebolt. He's got a prior. He was sued in the past for excessive use of force, sexual assault, various civil rights violations.
by an African-American man who was pulled over and then subjected to what appears to have been some rather profound abuse. It all started with Officer Casebolt remarking on the white girls he had in his car. And then they found a marijuana seed.
Well, you know as well as I do just how touchy those racist white guys are when they see their girls being hanging around those young bucks.
He was detained for being parked on the wrong side of the road.
Oh yeah, good night shirt. Yeah, major criminal activity. Call the SWAT team.
And then after he saw the marijuana seeds, he also noticed an open container. And then he noticed that he didn't particularly care for the way the man was wearing clothing.
Ooh. Baggy pants. Ooh.
Yeah.
Break down a social order. It's kind of like that damned Giuliani deal, broken, what they call the broken windows philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, go after the little stuff and it, you know, because everything kind of builds on itself. So if you go after the guy because he's wearing a bandana or wearing baggy pants, then that we can stop that. Then we can stop gang killing and stuff. Oh God, I was motivated to call because this the whole thing just aggravates me to death. But anyway, I hope I've thrown a few pieces of something for thought.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in.
Hey, no trouble at all. And we will listen the rest of the night. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Take care, John. Bye now. Our buddy John calling from somewhere on the road in the American West. Yeah, apparently in the lawsuit about Hair Casebolt earlier, he pulled the pants of the man down, and then they used their mag light to investigate his rectum. Rectum? Damn near killed him. Sorry. It's almost an automatic response. Hey, look. It's our buddy, the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man. What's going on?
you know, another day in America.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had a medical condition that was, you know, fucked up enough where I could have a green card because, you know, it's getting really hard to read the news.
I mean, if you take out, and I realize it's damn near impossible to do this, Angry, but if you take out the black-white dynamic, does the news just look like this in the rest of the world, too?
Well, yeah, actually it does if you really look at it in terms of the injustices. I mean, yeah, they can say, well, this doesn't happen in Europe. Yeah, it does. If you're a Rom person, you get treated pretty bad all the time. Now, they don't murder them on a regular basis, though. But the enforced slavery, the taking of children.
Well, I mean, we're reminded by the, what was it, a couple of years ago when a portion of London went up in flames after the killing of a young black man?
Yeah, that went on for like three, almost 4 days. I can't remember his name right now, which is really shame on me because I wrote a piece about it. But they just, you know, talked about his case again recently. His family's not letting it go. But, you know, the police, in terms of race, in the UK, in Ireland, I mean, in the entire Anglophone world, it is racist. When you start to move over to the Romance languages, Italy, Spain, what have you, if you are African, you know, it's had its waves. It's like in the United States, it's had its waves. When Clinton was in, I was a lot freer. It was a hell of a lot easier for me to get a job. It was a hell of a lot easier for me to go to places where white people were. I could be with a black girlfriend. I could be with someone, you know, color. I could be with a white woman. No one really said anything. People minded their own business. But the economy was also going well then. So folks are not really concerned. All right, yeah, well, you know, here's this nigga sitting with this model who really should be with me. Yeah, they were mad, but, you know, and yeah, I had situations, but it wasn't like this.
Well, let's drill down into that for a minute, Angry. So are you suggesting that racism bubbles to the surface when people have other pressure, when people have other pressures on them, when white folks have other pressures on them?
Not exclusively. They're not mutually, you know, they're not mutually exclusive, but there is a link when, you know, the general society. This can happen in the United States, France, Nigeria, Hong Kong, right? Yangtze, anywhere in Chile, Peru. It's the same thing because you're dealing with human beings. When you have a group that identifies themselves as one thing, and you know, which of course is always nonsense in most societies, the majority of societies, and you start going down the pecking order, when things start to, you know, go bad economically, if the cows are sick and not given enough milk, there's not enough fish because it's being overfished, or whatever the case is, there's a bacterium that they're not aware of because they were not aware, you know, they didn't have the technology at that time to understand what was happening, why the river turned red and what have you, you know, they start to blame the outsiders. It's not blame those that they have had on the lower pecking order.
And that's my point. There has to be somebody there to take advantage of that and leverage that. So the economy, and we'll just work toward this, the economy started tanking in 2008. Remember when John McCain suspended his campaign to deal with the grave economic crisis that was... That was, in fact, the chickens coming home to roost on Dim Leader before he expected them to. He expected to be long gone before that happened. But it happened. And the right wing was there on the odd chance that, you know, that one got elected president and not American war hero Angry John McCain. And almost, you know, almost right out. Well, remember, the oxymoron was there that trundling bulk of OxyContin-consuming assholery who declared, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, I hope he fails. There, I said it. I hope he fails. There has to be someone to leverage the latent hatreds, Angry. And by my saying that, what I'm suggesting is that this is all deliberate. Progress was made. We were getting somewhere. Ask any of the veterans of the civil rights struggle of the 60s. Because I have, and they go, yeah, I felt like we were going somewhere. And it feels like since January 2009, we have gone backward as fast as we can possibly go. And it is by design, Angry, by design.
What? But hey, you're not telling me anything. I don't really know. You know, I live with this black version, native version. You live with this white version. You know, we see this. We grow up with this. We realize this. And of course, by having them, you know, set, you know, people like you against people like me. And when I'm saying, I'm bringing up a generalization because we have to be able to do this to have a real conversation. You know, this whole thing about political correctness is really nonsense. That's not a left-wing term. That's a right-wing term, like that motherfucking moron that you quoted and played the audio from earlier who were identifying these children as fucking animals.
Jungle, you know, animals and punks.
So,
yes.
You know, we got to get past this whole thing about skin color and really start to look at the history and look at other fucking nations' history and say, yeah, you know what? I'm looking at a fucking parallel between this empire tanking and this motherfucking empire on this way to goddamn out. Nothing lasts more than 225, 250 fucking years as the unified political and economic fucking mass that we call empires. They all fucking crashed. The Mayans went down. The Aztecs and the Incas fucking went down, right?
You want to bring up that comparison. There's a reason that the archaeologists can break down their understanding of that culture into pre-classic, classic, post-classic, et cetera.
Yeah, what's the name of that general who wrote the book?
Oh, well, I can't. But But because even in the detritus that they left, we can see the cultural changes taking place, mm-hmm. manifested in their material goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think and if you look, for instance, at the Byzantine Empire, you know, it was arguably the continuation of the Roman Empire, but there are so many dynasties and there are so many murders and plots and so many removals from the throne and accessions to the throne that it doesn't have the cohesion and you know the land they start out with becomes less and less and less and less until by May of 1453 there's nothing but the city itself. And we view that through the long lens as the crumbling of empire, but empires fall by fits and starts, and we're certainly in that.
Well, we've been in it for a while. I mean, you can really look at Reagan as the real tumbling, you know, when things really started to go, and then when Clinton came in. And I know, you know, a lot of folks want to be really partisan about this and you know, say, well, you know, the Republicans blame Clinton for a lot. Well, they do blame him for a lot because they do it because they don't know what else to say. If you ask them about Glass-Steagall, they don't know what to say about Clinton. If you ask them about NAFTA and GATT, they don't know what to say about Clinton. If you ask them about the new crime bill, otherwise known as the omnibus crime bill, they don't know what to say. You know, he was a Republican in Democratic fucking clothing, and he made it clear. He said it when he was running that he was a pro-business candidate. I still don't know what the fuck it is, what it was with my neighbors who were demanding that I somehow support this man. And I'm like, do you really understand what the fuck he was talking about? Okay, so he leveled the place out a little bit. But, you know, they had to start finding, you know, sectors of the society that they could pick on. So he comes up with the new crime bill, which brings federal racial profiling back into play. And that is what filled the fucking prisons.
Well, let me ask you the question then, Angry. I know the white folks don't believe it, but Barack Obama really is going to leave office on January the 20th, 2017. How long will it be after he's gone before they stop having a hissy about him? I mean, let's assume for a moment, and I realize this will give you the fantods, it does me, but let's assume for a moment, pick one, President Cruz, President Paul, President Huckabee, President Graham. Let's assume one of those. Will everything be okay with America the minute that President Cruz accedes to the reins of power? And will we be a post-racial society again? Because see, the reason I ask this is I remember the roots of some of the stuff that we see boiling through our culture now, beginning with the hissy that was had way back in the Clinton administration when Bill Clinton was declared to be America's, finish it for me, first black president.
Yeah, well, see, what gave that legitimacy was that it was a black author, a black female author, an Oprah favorite, that said that. You know, and then she's come back since then and was like, you know, well, I didn't really mean it, you know, the way you put it. Well, it's like, however you meant it, it was just politically a really not too smart thing to say. I mean, Amiri Baraka went along with this as well. Amiri Baraka was one of the most radical fucking poets. He was the only black member of the goddamn Beat Society. I'm talking about the original Beat.
Oh, no. It began life as Leroy Jones and became Imamu Amiri Baraka. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even he was 100%, you know, behind the Clintons with, you know, with criticism, you know, with appropriate criticism, but then forgot all of that when Obama came around talking about black faces in high places. And I've been saying, and I'm not original in this, we've seen black faces in high places, and all we've gotten was a lot of black eyes. You know, I didn't expect Mr. Obama to come up there and say, yeah, well, you know, fuck Whitey, and we're going to, you know, go after the Klan, and we're going to fix all this shit.
But for the response that he got, he might as well have.
Well, he might as well have, but see, what your previous caller, John, Brother John, was saying was totally fucking correct. these folks feel that they're losing something, even though they don't fucking have any goddamn thing. You know, my average fucking white neighbors down here in Poland, you know, and I have nothing against them, but, you know, there's a lot of fucking folks that would be, and you know I don't use this term, you know, because I believe it's a racist motherfucking term, because it is. It's a racialist term. White trash is a racialist term. But they're poor white folks. They don't have a whole lot of fucking education and shit. And, you know, I'm able to get along with the ones that are willing to talk to me. And, you know, when they talk about social issues, they don't, they talk about race. They say, yeah, you know, I watched this black guy get fucked over by the cops not too long ago. You know, like, they'll tell me that type of shit. But then they also tell me what happens when they go to get services and how people just assume that they're drunk when they're not because they're missing teeth. And it's like, well, you know, I'm missing teeth, bro, because I'm
do not be listening at break time at the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources. I mean, we've got a negligible black population in this county. I mean, the caseworkers there at the welfare just don't see too many black folks. But by God, they've got plenty to say about that phrase you used, "po white trash." And the thing is, you know, how do I put this without coming across as an asshole? I say stuff about the people around whom I live because it's maddening. The ignorance is absolute. I mean, it's criminal ignorance. And I don't mean that the ignorant people are committing crimes angry. I mean, it is criminal that it is allowed to go on. That we simply accept the status quo as being, well, that's how it's always been. But this, and this is why I always, you know, I'm into the cultural analysis and sort of the meta look at things.
Let's go there.
When the coal industry was really, really booming in Central Appalachia, almost as an ancillary accident, there was some halfway decent public education. Of course, it was halfway decent public education for white people. With so-called separate but equal schools for people of color. Nonetheless, Carter Woodson, in this very county where I live, rises up from coal miner to shopkeeper to scholar, and we have, oh joy, Black History Month, because that makes everything all better, as a result of his labors. But you had an industry that really didn't much care how educated its workforce was. It needed some smart people because coal mining is more than just digging a hole in the ground. You can't maximize profits if your workers keep getting killed. But they will get killed sometimes. But it was almost an accidental byproduct. Well, the coal industry's gone. And I am really, really putting a lot of thought into, you know, what does this area look like in 20 years? Because once the coal industry is gone, and they've left all their filth and their poisons behind them angry, well, then we're going to find out something that we don't really want to acknowledge right now, because tourism, we got tourism. But you know what? You cannot feed a family on $10 an hour for 40 hours or maybe even 60 hours a week in a job that runs from March to October. Because November, December, January, and February are very lean months. Well, and you ain't got no job.
Yeah, but see, you think you can, though, if you're somebody that makes the rules, and even if you came from a background like that, you're not living like that anymore. And you know that you are beholden to your investors, those rich folks that have given you a check and have slapped you on the ass and so on at a fucking party, and the business men who have shaken your hand and patted you on the back and have also given you a check as much as they could so that they could represent you, so that you could represent them when you go to make a fucking vote. And that's what happens. But what you started off with is what all of us that – and again, this is a really touchy subject because you get accused of not giving a fuck about the people that you belong to and the area in which you come from. But almost all of us that – you know, when you get people a bottle of scotch and shit, you know, activists, and you sit them in a room and you put a bottle of scotch on the table and you just let people talk, man, we all – almost all of us who are ethnic, right, you know, say the same thing. It's like, you know, we're trying to explain to my community, the Chinese community, that we need to do this, that, and the other consciously and not just do it because somebody big told us to do something. It's almost impossible and it's frustrating. You know, people in the Bahamian community say the same thing. In the Desi community, you know, people from India, they say the same thing. The Native American community, the African community, the same thing. We have a problem that Marx was very clear about. We get used psychologically and emotionally to our condition, because we get convinced, because we can't see anything other than what we see, that this is the best of all possible worlds and this is all that you can do. The internet is ruining this to a degree, but at the same time we're realizing that as much as they want to take over the internet, folks are still going on desire-based things 85% of the time. They're looking at shoes and books and what movies to see and how they can still, they can be hip. And I'm not talking about the hipsters, because that's a problem in and of itself. You know, I mean, they're really the modern beatniks in many twisted ways. But this whole, what you were talking about earlier, when we were talking about empires and on their ways out, you know, when food becomes more important than the fact that every 28 hours or less, black people are being murdered by cops and white vigilantes in this country. Yeah, I'm redundant about this because mainstream media doesn't fucking talk about it. The average white person on the street doesn't talk about it. And seeing white people in Appalachia think that they're immune from this, which is not true. Most of the white guys that I fucking know who have had a hard time with the cops were always deemed what we just finished talking about, white trash. And I'm talking about from Philly. I'm talking about right here in Paulden.
Oh, no. See, we got this little newspaper you can buy down at the Rippy Mart every week, or maybe it's published every 2 weeks. And I imagine they make a small fortune on it because it flies off the shelf. And it's a picture of recently arrested hillbillies. Mm-hmm. You know, they got their little orange, blaze orange top on, their jail jumper. And they are photographed in various states of fucked upness. It flies off, but you hardly ever see anybody, you never see a guy in a three-piece suit.
Yeah, but they're not going to buy a paper like that. You know, I used to ask a lot of the people I used to work with when I had one of my, you know, worst blue-collar jobs. And I'm like, why is it whenever I come into the break room, you motherfuckers are watching cops? And they're like, oh, man, because it's funny. I'm like, what, do you think this shit is funny? I said, they brutalize people, man. All you see are poor people being fucked up. How come they don't go to Wall Street over in New York City and take one of these motherfuckers out? And they're like, oh, man, you need to get off with this communist shit, this, that. What does communism have anything to do with anything? Who does more damage? These drunks that they're fucking pulling up and having a problem with and shit, who are hysterical now because of the way they're being surrounded by goddamn cops. So, of course, the chicks are going to fucking start screaming even more, right? So, you know, on the other hand, you got nameless fucking executives who only get caught because they fucked over the wrong people. If Bernie Madoff did not rip off the wrong folks.
Yeah, if he'd been ripping off poor people, he'd be walking the streets.
Yeah, but see, but he and his partner, the fucking the weightlifter, whatever the fuck he was, the cat with the sharp hat, I can't remember his name right now, but he ripped off $86 million from Native people in this country. $86 million from fucking Natives who supposedly represent the entire population, right, who go to these meetings.
Oh, Jack Abramoff?
They have to... Huh?
Jack Abramoff?
I can't remember his name.
Well, the pal of the Bush administration. Well,
Jack Abramoff. Yeah. Fucking, you know, then he now
represented one Indian casino against another Indian casino.
Uh-huh.
Rat fucked them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could sit here and be political
and say as a Native American or somebody who claims Native American descent, because they don't really like black Indians too much these days, right? So they say, hey, yeah, why is it that you have one casino that is really in the fuck? Because, see, the thing about it that's really nobody even in the Native media talks about this is that these Native casinos and the other Native businesses that and tribal organizations and tribal heads and chiefs that were part of this fucking bullshit with Abramoff and goddamn Madoff, they knew full well that they were fucking over these other interests, other Native American interests. They knew that they were screwing over these people. It's just like the black drug dealers, like the one that broke my motherfucking nose in the goddamn 80s when I asked him how the fuck he could talk to me about being, you know, mixed, you know, being a yellow nigga and shit, and he's out of here selling dope to black people. So his response to that was to break my fucking nose. So what I'm saying is, you know, the bullshit that goes on in all fucking societies is greed. I mean, that's an obvious one. But we have to stop assuming that, you know, well, you know, people are going to do the right thing all the motherfucking time. No, it turns out that usually poor fucking folks pay their goddamn debts. They pay their fucking bills. They go out of their way to fucking pay their shit.
That's all they do. I mean,
that's all they do.
Okay, so let me tell you how it works here. If you want to have some of that delicious, cheap, coal-fired electricity, you got to pay. And if you are a residential customer, you just got hit with a 16% rate increase. And that's a fact. So in the dead of winter, and I don't expect this to last too much longer, because this is one of the few humane things that an ostensibly democratic government did. The Public Service Commission told the power company that they can't be cutting people's power off when it's freezing and people are likely to die. Okay? But the rest of the year, they're on you like a duck on a June bug. You ain't going to carry no damn balance. And you're right. I mention that because poor people pay their bills because they have to. Otherwise, you know, they have no services. And unlike the so-called middle class, they have damned little else to show for it than the fact that they can bathe and maybe run an air conditioner or a heater and a beat-up automobile. That ain't how it works in the 1% world, and you and I both know that. I mean, how many people got their water cut off in Detroit?
While massive
corporations were allowed to carry balances that were humongously higher than even the grand total of unpaids among residential customers. And there are some states, I remember years ago when Sandra and I discussed it, there are some states that are basically reinstituting debtor's prison.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, that was, you know, I mean, that has been one of the main functions of the private prison industry, to argue for legislation for the maintenance or the creation, if it's not already there, of any fucking shit. And right now, you know, debt is the number one goddamn thing. And they will fucking run your ass in for fucking owing them some bullshit. And the thing about it is your debt may be sold to several different fucking separate owners before it even fucking gets back to the original fucking
thing. And by the time that has happened, every one of them has piled on service fees.
Yeah, but even then, you can find, like, a lot of people who have been taken to court where they said, well, let's look at the, you know, how this all fucking started. You know, how did I even get into this in the first place? You know, when did you start raising your rates? You know, when did you start really going, you know, above board? And then, you know, sometimes they can get these things alleviated. But in most cases, most people don't think they have a right to argue. You don't have the economic stability in which you can go and get a lawyer, because if you did, you could pay the bill. But you also have legislators who know full well that they are passing laws, they are passing bills, whatever, to, you know, to put people on the hook, because if people are not in debt, they want to fucking know why. Look, there was not too long ago that I think it was when Clinton was no, it wasn't when Clinton was in. It was in the Bush and Cheney criminal conspiracy was in that this retired couple in their late 70s. They paid off all of their bills. It was on mainstream news. They paid off, which is not news, but they did a story on this. They paid off all of their bills, and then they were investigated by Homeland Security. Why? Because they paid all their bills. They wanted to know why they took
look,
them
if you're not in, debt. If you're poor in this country, angry, and you're not in debt, you're dangerous.
You're dangerous. So the next
because you might
to
take
you
to the streets. You might decide to stand on your hind legs and want better.
Well, everybody wants better, but the point is, if you're on the street and you have no income at all, and if you maybe you have no debt because you have no fucking income because you're totally destitute, yeah, you're dangerous to the state because there's no telling what the fuck you might do. You see, you know, the way they look at it, the rich man is going to act rationally, even if he acts illegally. You know, he's going to act in such a way he's going to maximize his own profit, even if he's, totally rash and reckless with the byproducts or whatever, you know, he or she does. But, you know, they look at that as being somewhat rational. Someone who has absolutely nothing to fucking lose. That's something else. That's solely something else. This person has nothing to lose. These folks who go out here and do these crazy acts of terrorism, to a lot of them, come on, Bob, you know full well, they've given up. They've given up on life. They've given up on everything. They've given up,
It depends on which terrorists you're talking about.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the people that we are usually demonizing the most. When I say demonizing, I'm not talking about them as individuals. Yeah. I'm talking about the entire fucking people.
Muslims.
Well, right. Muslims, Buddhists, depending on where the hell you are. I mean, any particular religious thing. I mean, Catholics, if you're not careful. I mean, it used to be like that. I remember my mother telling me very fucking carefully, do not tell anybody that we just went to a Catholic church. Why not? They don't like Catholics around here in this particular neighborhood. You can't tell anybody that shit. You know, I remember being told, don't tell people that we're this. Because I'm mixed. Don't tell certain groups this, that, and the other. But we never want to discuss this, and we never discuss historically, and I hate to say this economically, but it's true, where these things come from. When white people are earning enough, they don't usually give a fuck about these things. But when they're broke, oh, well, goddamn, man, you know, they give the Jews every goddamn thing. The Jews are controlling the black folks, and the black folks are controlling the Mexicans, and that's why we got these fucking problems, because they're all hooked up with the Muslims. Look at that black guy. His name is Muhammad. Look at Obama. What's his middle name? Right? Hussein, right? They're all in it together, because I'm a white man, I'm a victim, and Archie Bunker spoke for me.
And now it's Rush Limbaugh, or Michael Berry, or Michael Savage. Or Sean Hannity.
Neil Bortz.
Or Neil Bortz.
Pick any of these bastards. Pick any of them. And I'm saying
that all of this stuff, because I fear that even among the progressive side of the conversation, angry, I fear that we tend to look at white wing hatred and say, well, it was just there all along, and they lost their minds when Barack Obama was elected, blah, blah, blah. And we all know he's not a liberal. We all know he's not progressive. And those teabaggers are just crazy. It always takes a trigger, okay? When the Manhattan Project was working on an atomic bomb, the thing they had to come up with was a trigger mechanism. Well, you've got to have a working trigger mechanism to fire a gun. And you've got to have a working trigger mechanism to fire up race hatred.
Hey, do you remember an old film of William Shatner, one of his early films? Because he used to do a lot of sci-fi. I mean, that's really been the bulk of his career. But he did an early film against racism called The Invader. I think it was 1965, where he shows up in a small town in the Midwest. And he's a neo-Nazi, but he doesn't tell these people that. He just starts talking about Jews all the time, you know. And people are like, we don't even know if we have any Jews in the town. There's no synagogue here. Well, they might be because they work with the communists. So you know how they are. And then he started to build up a group. And, you know, people got wise to him, and they put a stop to it after a while. But the point was is that what they were saying is that, you know, this kind of thing has to kind of come into a community when it doesn't already exist. And the film starts with him getting off a bus with one suitcase.
Well, agreed, but the thing is,
in the case of everything since 2008, this whole country is that one little Midwestern town, and the guy getting off the bus is getting behind a microphone every day.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but one thing that you said was correct. It's always been here. But what I said, you know, and again, I'm trying not to interrupt you, but I know I talk fast, is that, yes, it's always been here, but the white liberal can sit there and say that, which, you know, it's always been here. Now, it's not that the white liberal will not be a victim. I get a lot of black people who are pissed at me because I keep bringing up Vieta Luiso. I bring up the fact that there were a lot of white people, to this day, that will stand, look at what the fuck, and we have to get back to what the fuck happened in McKinney. That's what happened in McKinney. White girl stands up to her racist white neighbor. Black girl comes up to defend the white girl. That's how it all started.
And
she got attacked.
Yeah, that was not lost on me either.
You know, she got attacked because this white girl said, "Lady, you're fucking out of line. We invited them. Nobody's doing anything. And what the fuck is what are you talking about, Setchie Nate? What the fuck is your problem?" And then this woman started talking, or really, you know, going after her. And it wasn't just one person. If you look at the photograph, it was two women for sure, and I think there was somebody standing behind them. And then there was this other rotund son of a bitch. And I never fuck with people about their size, but I'm just saying, you know, here it is. He's standing there helping this cop, blocking people from questioning what the fuck he was doing. He's pulling his goddamn gun on children who are fucking wearing swimsuits. And yes, this happened in America, but it happens in America every fucking day to people of color. Now, it could happen to you if you're a white woman, and it has happened to white women here. And you know what happens? Their motherfucking sexual assaults by these goddamn cops go unannounced and unfucking investigated for the fucking most part. We got an officer in Oklahoma, you know, who is mixed, and I'm going to say that because it needs to be fucking pointed out. This son of a bitch abused his goddamn power. He's the next fucking football player. Can't remember his goddamn name. You know, and I don't know if he's, you know, Hopper or part native, whatever the fuck he is over there in Oklahoma, man, but he abused every fucking female he stopped on the road.
Yep.
And the fucking women in that goddamn community, the white women, fucking put up the money to help bail that son of a bitch out. He's still walking the fucking streets. Now, where were the white liberals about that? And I'm not saying that they're not white people that don't fucking argue and complain and do not protest. They do. But when they get stomped, nobody fucking talks about it. Nobody hears about it. The white media, when I say white media, I'm talking about the corporate-owned media, doesn't fucking talk about it. You get Meg Kelly, who starts talking about how the victim in all of this shit was really the catalyst. And not the fucking neighbors, who, like you say, are bragging. We called 911. Like Ronald Richie, who called 911 on John Crawford in a fucking Walmart for holding a plastic gun because he wanted to have some fucking fun and see what the fuck happened when the cops showed up. And got that man shot to fucking death while he was on the phone with his fucking wife and father, right? Then you have a white woman, and I'm surprised that since the white community in this country gives so much of a fucking fuck about white women and white life, how come they didn't say a goddamn thing about the woman who died there? She had a heart attack and dropped dead in front of her fucking children. Angela something, I can't remember her name, and I apologize to her memory and family for not remembering her name, but I did tweet this, and her lawyer got in contact with me on Twitter and said, "God damn it, nobody else is fucking talking about this shit but you." She had a fucking heart attack when that bastard did that, and Ronald Richie's walking the fucking streets. He lied about being a fucking Marine. He admitted to the fucking press and to the police, because this is reported, that he lied about the 911 call, that he knew that he wasn't threatening any fucking buddy, and he's still walking the fucking street. And then we have Waco, where they're texting, 9 people get fucking killed, but they can beat up a bunch of goddamn kids, and 2 fucking people who live in that complex are not being prosecuted. That's the America I have to fucking live in every day I walk out my fucking door. So, you know, this is really some bullshit. And, yeah, Obama, this is what Obama's good for. You see that he is saying and doing absolutely nothing. And this is causing a rift, because the black community here is already angry with the gay community for saying, well, what happens to black people is the same thing that happens to us. Now, it is true, but they never really mention the differences. And when, you know, gay people have committed suicide here, Obama has made a video statement. You know, Clinton, as Secretary of State, made a video statement. Here, you got black people being shot every 28 hours or less. Obama's saying absolutely fucking nothing. So when he leaves, all that's going to happen is that those same chest-beating white folks who are like, well, we're losing it, we're going to take it back, whoever the hell gets in, is going to be white. You and I both know that. Whoever it is going to be white. Now, whether or not Ted Cruz would be accepted as white is another fucking question. All right? He should even be accepted as an American going by his own motherfucking rhetoric, being that he was born in Canada. And as far as Marco Rubio, his family never escaped Castro. They fucking left before all that shit happened. So, yeah, a whole lot of liars on the goddamn GOP, including Peyush, goddamn Jindal, and fucking Nikki Haley. And there's a whole bunch of others I can goddamn mention, but what's the point?
You mean Nimrata?
Hey, man, they can pick them all. You got Mia Love, who she got in, and the GOP couldn't stop talking about Mia Love. They had her standing on the fucking stage. They were touting Mia Love. Mia Love, Mia Love, Mia Love. We love us some Mia Love. Mia Love started getting motherfucking threats from the Klan after she got in office over there, and I haven't heard a fucking thing about Mia Love ever since from the fucking GOP. Nothing.
Oh, by the way, just to go back to McKinney for a minute, I just learned a new true fact. Case Bolt, the officer in question, vice president of the McKinney Police Union.
Oh, yeah. He's also a Krav Maga instructor. He's also a firearms instructor. He is a hand-to-hand combat instructor, right? So, look, you and I saw the same fucking video, Bob. That son of a bitch was so fucking amped up. He bust his ass before he even got into the main field of fucking play. He rolled. I looked at that, and I'm like, does this motherfucker realize that he's on film? Can I even say film in the 21st fucking century anymore? He fucking rolled. And then he
kept... What the hell was that? Ass. I mean, I actually went back and checked to see, did he trip on a root?
No, that was just adrenaline, Bob. Because he wanted to get in the fucking mix. He wanted to get in the mix. And I'm telling you, as somebody that's had the motherfucking deal with crowds, okay? When one fucking person goes out like that, there's blood in the fucking water. So I was not surprised to see the rest of these cops start to go berserk, because they didn't start out that way. It seemed like two motherfucking officers were trying to talk.
Well, you'll notice that two of the officers, when he pulled his gun, reacted pretty quickly, and he put it away equally quickly.
Yeah.
But they did not de-escalate him from the situation.
No. See, and that's where we got to stop that, well, not all motherfucking cops shit. Well, you know, that's funny, because they come down on the whole goddamn racial community or religious community because of the actions or the assumed actions of one motherfucker.
Well, I'm a little tired of the not all cops argument, you know, no true Scotsman, whatever. Because it's not all cops. It's just enough cops.
There's enough of them. Here's the fact. Here you have a police officer. Now, there's occasional films that I've seen on YouTube where cops have stopped somebody from getting out of hand. And I'm saying it on the fucking air. A white cop stopped my ass from getting fucking beat up by a fucking black cop. I'm telling the fucking truth here. Because that son of a bitch wanted to prove a fucking point to somebody. And this white cop was like, look, man, you need to fucking ease up and back the fuck down. He probably saved my fucking life. So, you know, when I say, oh, well, not all fucking cops, that's a goddamn general. It isn't all fucking police. But we got to start fucking saying something about the cops.
You have to say not all police, or else they'll say, see, he just hates police because he's a radical.
No, I mention all the goddamn time. There's decent fucking cops out here. And you know what? They're fucking scared to say any fucking thing because, like Serpico, they're worried about what the fuck will happen to them. I've had family. 30 cops in my fucking family, okay? And they're like, well, hey, man, why are you able to do this shit as long as you were able to do it? Well, who the fuck's going to say any goddamn thing? They got caught eventually, you dig what I'm saying? And they got drummed out of the fucking service. But the point is that you got to start fucking standing up for the cops to come out. And if, like I said, if you go around and you do the research, you will find them. But they can't do it by their fucking selves. We, as a society, have to fucking support them. We got enough goddamn lawyers out here. We got the fucking money out here. It's enough bullshit that we have to stop giving police and soldiers a fucking pass. This is bullshit. And this is the end of fucking empire. Because you start to get to the point where the fucking military forces cannot be goddamn controlled. Because they're starting to go out for self because they realize that the shit is fucking about to go all the way out fucking bounds. They know. You can't keep locking people up and keep expanding a prison system and think, okay, well, we're going to let these people out and they're going to be normal. And they're just going to somehow sit on their hands and be poor and allow themselves to be racially profiled all the fucking time and never fucking get angry. I mean, you got to consider the fucking protests to go on around the world. I'm not even talking about Europe because Europe is not the center of the fucking world, man. People are fighting the goddamn police over there just to have a living wage. We don't even have to do that bullshit here. But yes, we have an Obama. We have a whole lot of fucking people of color and decent white people in positions of office. And they can't do a goddamn thing. They're in positions of authority and they can't do a fucking thing. Come on. That's like saying that Joe Manchin...
Okay, all right. So let me ask you a question. All these decent white people, are any of them... And I realize the shifting sands upon which I'm standing right now. Are any of those decent white people teabaggers?
I haven't met one yet.
I can't get out of my mind, for instance, the decent white people with their very well-mown lawn and their white house and their white-columned porch and their two-tracked little driveway through the grass and their concrete lines by the side of the road with their... Remember Hillary and Obama's lies and deceit, Benghazi, that I saw over the weekend. I mean, I'm gonna point angry where I just stop and I'm, you know, Agnes and Margie were with me in the car and I just started power swearing. God bless. And you know, Agnes said, "Calm down, honey. It's just another teabagger." And then a little ways up the road, there's that urine-colored snake flag.
Yeah.
And see, I'm torn angry. Because if a fellow was to go and knock on their door and say, could you please tell me about Hillary's lies and deceit? Because, well, you're asking people to remember them. And, gosh, I need to know. Would you find that these were salt-of-the-earth types? Butter wouldn't melt in their mouth, wouldn't say shit if they had a mouthful, give you the shirt off their back, you know, noble Appalachian, which takes me back to something else, if you will bear with me for a moment. I shared that post from National Catholic Reporter last night calling for the passage and support for the ACAC, and I continue to be very grateful for that post. But, and I hate it when I do the but thing, can we please get rid of the simple, friendly, caring mountain folks? That's the paragraph. I mean, in those days, as I got to know the beauty of Appalachia and some of the simple, friendly, and caring mountain folks, I discovered the grinding poverty many of them were experiencing.
Well, Buddy Ebsen did a damn good job then, didn't he? Because they can't get over that stereotype.
We're doggies! We ain't got no running water, and Granny's outside working up some possum for dinner with some gopher gravy. But sit down here and have a little pull on the rheumatiz medicine.
I know, for instance, that Tracy in L.A., who is very busy being a student right now, I know that she has remonstrated on a number of nights her objections to being the noble Negro.
Yeah, it sucks.
Well, I'm about tired of being the simple, friendly, caring mountain folk. Because if you spent much time around us, we ain't simple. And if you think we're friendly, that's because you've never turned your back on us. And caring? Well, as far as it goes, I reckon. Well, how's your day going, neighbor? Oh, pretty good. Yours? Oh, just fine and dandy. And that's about as far as it goes. I mean, granted, when somebody drops dead, we'll bring around the chicken and broccoli casserole with the Campbell's soup in it, or maybe bake a cake. Anymore, most people just go to Walmart for a cake, or bring some Walmart fried chicken. I got issues. I got issues. Angry. I confess it.
Yeah, but like I said, if you take a bunch of activists who come from different ethnic backgrounds.
I've been in them meetings.
You've been in them meetings. And like I said, you put that bottle of scotch there, it all comes out. You know, I hate to say that this shit about my own motherfucking, you know, group that I really can't fucking stand. And it breaks my fucking heart. You know, but we have to be objective and ask ourselves. We're dealing with human beings, and why do these particular human beings, given their cultural backgrounds, given the historical backgrounds of the history of their nations and their religions and so forth, why they are the way they are, and why when they are in the United States or in other parts of the Anglophone world, they react the way they do to their repression.
And see, this is why I'm forever engaging in these little thought experiments, Angry. For instance, I ask myself, if all of those white folks who went to the Democratic primary in May of 2008 and walked out and said, well, yes, I just voted for Hillary because I don't think America is ready for a Negro in the White House.
And I got audio.
Right. I'm not making that up. 23% of the Democrats who voted for Hillary said they did so because America ain't ready for one of them in the White House. And then immediately began the war on coal. If Barack Obama had done everything in his power to make sure more mountains blew up, more water was poisoned, coal profits went forward, if he had tried to stop the fracking that has basically wiped out the coal industry, what was left of it that hadn't already gotten all the coal, would they have laid off on all the nigger jokes and the watermelon emails and the
no.
and the fried chicken tweets? If he had just bowed and scraped and done a little buck and wing in front of the coal industry, would they have been a little more racially tolerant?
Yeah, but I'm saying this, and I'm not even one of these super Afrocentric angry brothers. But the reality of it is, to be objective, okay, is that he's been shucking and jiving since he's been in. He's been walking that tightrope, and I can understand that. But he's been, and I'm saying this because it's fucking true, he's been fucking kissing ass since he's been in. Now, he will, you know, he's been standing up to Israel a little bit, because it's his second term, and I suppose he can do that. And he's going somewhat farther than Pappy Bush did, who was the only other president that I can remember.
Well, I mean, when you know that the Israeli prime minister refers to him as a schwarzer in private.
Yeah.
and he knows. And
yeah,
he knows.
Of course he knows. But hell, we're still hearing about Reverend Jackson in Hymietown. And we're still not even sure if he really even said that shit. You know, and he might have. He probably fucking did. Private conversation. But it was a black reporter who was not even really a reporter. This is a motherfucker who was in the mailroom who just happened to be in this goddamn conversation only because he was black and because he worked at this particular fucking newspaper. And he made sure that all of the white reporters knew about that conversation within 30 minutes of walking away from that goddamn circle. And Reverend Jackson has never been able to walk away from that. Now, Netanyahu has made all kinds of fucking comments about black people, not just Obama. And he said all kinds of things about Palestinians.
Well, they didn't see much. They didn't have much problem turning the cavalry and the dogs loose on the Ethiopian Jews now, did they?
No. And they were sterilizing Ethiopian women, admitted this in international fucking media, and nothing was done about it. The United States continued to fucking send their money. The only reason the Obama administration is not 100% in public, anyway, right, ostensibly, behind the Jewish state in the Levant is because politically it is not, at this particular point in time, expedient to do so. They just got another fucking Hail Mary. Right, they got another goddamn humble when the UN decides that even though we recognize that Israel kills children, well, we're not going to put them on the list of nations that kill children.
Right.
So
because those are children who needed killing.
Well, hey, the United States
NITs
does
make
fuck children.
It's the Chivington defense. NITs make lice. Uh-huh. Now, on the other hand, there was a delightful little moment. I don't know if you caught this or not. The Supreme Court was actually forced to agree with the Obama administration, and you know it just galled the shit out of them to have to do it. The right-wingers and teabaggers and birthers and deathers and booger-eaters and whatnot in the Congress tried to force Barack Obama to have Jerusalem listed as the capital of Israel on passports.
And they said no.
and went to the Supreme Court. Oh, that Negro! And the Supreme Court said, nah, actually, he's in charge of foreign policy. You're not, fuckwits. And the capital of Israel is Tel Aviv. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Game, set, and match Obama administration.
Yeah, but like I said, politically, it is expedient at this point to do so. The Pope. Now, we can say a lot of things about, you know, homeboy not moving as fast as a lot of us would like, and, you know, no, he's not going to make women priests because that would crash the institution as it is. We have to accept certain things. But we also have to accept that the man is trying to do something, as we're talking about in general, within the limits of his power. And, you know, he has put all of these nations on notice. We recognize Palestine. Sinn Féin now recognizes Palestine. You have all of these governments. That was the whole thing behind the Christian terrorism, the right-wing Christian terrorism of Breivik in Anders Breivik in Norway, was that the idea that Norway is too close to the Palestinian issue. They're too close to the issue because they're not fully representing or not fully recognizing the European right of settlement in this region, right? You know, they're not recognizing the Aliyah. So, or any of them. So, yeah, you know, we're dealing with double standards all over the place. And that you know, ending this with Palestine is a good thing, because when the protests were happening in Baltimore and in Ferguson, people realized that the same tear gas canisters that were being used domestically are also being used in occupied Palestine against indigenous Palestinians by the Israeli Defense Forces. So there is a connection here. You know, the Black Panther Party, when they were active, was, you know, had liaison with the PLO. They had liaison with Sinn Féin. You know, I'm not advocating any drastic action, but the point was, politically, as governments, because we used to have a government in exile. A lot of people don't know that. It was in Tanzania. We had a government in exile as black people in this country. We were at that political level. But we never went really to the point. I mean, you had the Black Liberation Army. And yeah, they did rob banks, and they did get involved in what they considered to be revolutionary action. But, you know, you also had the Weather Underground. How many people bring them up? And they did serious damage.
Well, I mean, Sarah Palin, I mean, you know.
Sarah Palin doesn't know anything about the Weather Underground. That's just something she heard that somebody told her to mention. If you got into a real fucking conversation with her, she wouldn't be able to tell you any goddamn thing. She couldn't even tell you anything about being the governor of goddamn Alaska. The hell with her. She knows absolutely nothing. She, you know, she can't even control her own goddamn family, like just like the Duggars. They can't even control the freaks in their own goddamn gene pool.
Yeah, and within, by the way, within the context of McKinney, it is not lost on me, as Isaac pointed out a little bit ago, that 2 weeks ago we were being told that it was okay for a 14-year-old white male to incestuously abuse his sisters. Flash forward 2 weeks in time, and we're being told that it's not okay for a 14-year-old black female to not want to be beaten up by a cop or maybe show up at a pool party in a bikini.
No, but see, but black women are supposed to put up with that abuse. All right? You know, I'm old enough to remember being a little boy and watching white men grab the asses of black women, and it wasn't a fucking thing they could do about it. I remember that. And my mother had a friend who, in the late 60s, was pulled into a car by some white men. And the way she described them, the way I got the story, was that these were they had suits on, they were clean cut, all of that. They decided to grab her off of a street corner. They abused her and then dropped her on another street corner and told her to fucking forget it and drove off. And there wasn't a thing that she felt that she could fucking do about it. So, you know, I'm not surprised to see this type of brutality. And anyone who has watched, you know, racist police officers, that includes black police officers and Latino and Asian police officers, because when they put on that goddamn uniform, it seems that common sense and decency and fucking idea of serving the fucking public goes out the goddamn window. It becomes an us versus them fucking situation. That's the mindset. We have watched police officers abuse black women, Native women, Spanish-speaking Indian women, otherwise known as Latinas,
Asian women are also subjected to police abuse. They hit on them. They try to force them to give them their phone numbers, their information. We've all seen this outside of the clubs. We've seen this in the bars. But we're all going to just, you know, pretend that this isn't really happening and that it's just one or two bad apples when we're really looking at a system of injustice, a system, you know, of abuse. The same thing when we talk about racialism, a system of abuse. When we talk about, you know, I don't want to sound like a libertarian, but we talk about the banking system, a system of abuse where you can have the prime mortgage, the subprime mortgage scandal, and the only people going to the joint are the people who can't pay.
Well, sure, and let's roll that one a little further. McKinney, Texas got sued in the not too distant past over unfair housing practices violations. You know, to keep those ones out of their neighborhood.
Just like Baltimore, just like Ferguson, it's the same pattern. And when we start to get to the larger cities, I know when they get to Philly, what the fuck is going to be said.
And I don't, you know? I don't want to just close the program on a note of negativity, but you know, reality spoken here. The likelihood of anything meaningful being done about it approaches absolute zero.
Well,
we do got to get out of here. It's 3 minutes before the hour. I sure do appreciate the conversation. We always have a dandy, and I know people enjoy it.
All right, and if you guys can support this show, please do. Let's keep Mike on. I'm sorry. You know, Mike Malloy, too.
I take as a high compliment.
You know, but, you know, Bob, you know, needs the support here. You know, we got to keep the station on the air because you're not going to get this to the radio very many other places. And he can be on the air. So if you can, fuck over some coins and keep him going.
Well,
please.
Thank you. Thank you, Angry, because the fact of the matter is we had a $100 challenge on the table this evening. $50 of it got met, and not another blessed thing happened after that. So tomorrow evening, if everything doesn't change, we will have let's see. We were at 340. Yeah, we'll be at $390 tomorrow evening. Ugh, holes. They're tough. But it is time to get out of here, so thanks to those of you who do support the program. Thank you very kindly, Steve, this evening. Thank you to our anonymous contributor. Thank you to the anonymous contributor who offered the $50 matching challenge. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.